Welcome to our Bible study of the book of Revelation. Today is Wednesday, November 2nd, 2023. We will be meeting here in the NLA Start Meeting Room every Wednesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. For those listening on YouTube or Rumble and would like to join us live or view our past studies and PDF study aids, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org/Bible-study-revelation. Our study will be about 45 minutes long and a 15-minute Q&A for questions, comments, or corrections. If no one enters into the queue, we will continue the study for an additional 15 minutes. If you have a question, please take note of the book, chapter, and verse so that we can easily go back to the verse in question. Let us begin in prayer. Most holy, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the mercy You have shown upon us, having blessed us in all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We thank Thee for making known unto us the mystery of Thy will, according to Your good pleasure, which You hath purposed in Yourself. And we have trusted that after we heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation. We ask for Your continued blessings as we continue to look into Thy word for guidance and blessings. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to pick up where we've been heading to pick up for quite some time. We're finally going to get there, looking at the 2300 days. Not too sure how far we're going to get in this. So we'll probably get through this and maybe even 1290 days and 1335 days. Okay, and these are significant numbers, which we're going to see as time goes on. But right now, it's important, I think, to introduce you to how we get to these numbers, where these numbers come from. And as we continue to go into the book of Revelation, we'll be using the words to tie into these numbers so that we'll get an understanding and also a solid picture of what God is revealing to us. I don't think we'll get into the 70 weeks of Daniel 9 today. It looks like it's quite a few pages, so I doubt we'll get that far. We may have to end a little early if we end early, unless people have questions. But let's see where we get to. Okay, so let's pick up in the 2300 days. We read in Revelation chapter 11, verse 7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. Now, the context that this sits in ultimately identifies with the believers, the people that have become born again, that are in the churches. In other words, to be killed is to be silenced. We are killed all the day long. And that's the picture of the killing here. This is not a literal physical killing. And it's interesting what's going on in the Middle East right now, and how things have erupted and how they've come to where they're at, and bringing us to the brink of World War III. And a lot of people that may be looking in the Bible, I've seen some people getting really deep into what they think is going to happen. But it's going to be cut short, and it's going to be cut short very quickly. But for reasons outside of the Bible, but for political reasons, this war is going to be cut short. And for the sake of people, having peace. And it's going to be interesting to see what they're going to be saying about that after that point comes. And there's going to be a period of time, of course, where as we go into, Isaiah 14, where judgment is upon nations. And again, we've been watching this now for quite some time, if you have the proper spiritual perspective. But the thing is that there's going to be a great judgment upon the nations, upon the beast, upon Leviathan. And Leviathan's going to be taken down. At some point in time, man will cry out, peace and safety at last. And that's when God says, utter destruction shall come. And they won't be aware of it. They'll be eating and drinking and given in marriage and marrying and so on. And everything's going to be normal. Or appear to be normal, but they're going to be at peace. But that's when the end comes, and we don't know what day or hour that will be. We can only know the season, and I do feel it's extremely close. It may be so close that we may not even be able to get through all of the book of Revelation. But then on the other hand, again, I don't know. We'll make certain points of view once we start working through the book of Revelation. Okay. So, Daniel, chapter 8. And by the way, the bottomless pit is in the earth. And we'll read a picture in Revelation when we get there that there's a beast that comes up out of the earth, and then there's a beast that comes up out of the sea. And the idea of coming up out of the earth, where do you think the bottomless pit is? The bottomless pit, ultimately, I think we can draw a conclusion that it's under the river Euphrates. And it's spiritually speaking, not literally speaking. God is not giving us pictures of historical events. He's given us pictures of spiritual events, which I guess to a degree is historical, spiritually speaking. But it's spiritual events that's taken place. And the beast's going to come up, again, in River Euphrates. The River Euphrates identifies with the river of life. It identifies with the gospel. And it's the gospel that has held the beast in that pit. And it is very interesting that the River Euphrates is literally drying up. So that's a very interesting thing, and maybe that's a sign of some type. I would imagine so, just like Israel, of course, being that major sign that we are at the end, and then we come into the beginning of sorrows, which we're going to get into a lot of the things on the beginning of sorrows as we move along. But, again, the beast comes up out of the earth. The earth is a figurative picture, a spiritual picture of the church, and the sea is a spiritual picture of the world, and to sink down into the sea is to sink down into hell. The ship identifies with the church that goes out into the world to bring the gospel. So obviously the picture of the earth drying up of the river, the drying up of the gospel, no subsistence, no spiritual food, and we have the beast being loosed, and there's a great angel who comes down. The word angel is a messenger, and so we have to ask ourselves, what messenger is this? Who's got the key to loose Satan? And of course, that is Jesus Christ himself. So, again, the picture coming up out of the earth. We'll develop that in great detail when we get into Revelation. But just to get a little insight on that. So now we get into Daniel. And we're going to look at Daniel chapter 8, verses 11 through 14. And this is where we'll see the picture of the first numbers, 2300 days. And we read, "Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away." And again, that is ultimately the gospel. Being taken away, being sanctified, the people being sanctified by the gospel. It is the picture of salvation. We'll see this in Revelation in a lot of different ways. We see it in the two witnesses being killed and being silenced, so the gospel isn't coming, the true gospel is not coming through. We'll see this in the two candlesticks. And remember, God speaks about the candlesticks. There's a candlestick in every church of the seven churches. If you have anybody read the Revelation yet, there's a picture of those candlesticks going out. Repent. And God keeps saying, I'm going to remove the candlestick. And the candlestick is the light of the gospel. Again, the daily. We daily go to Christ. And we bring that gospel to the world, and many people are sanctified and blessed by it, and many people become saved. But again, it's only a remnant to become saved. And a remnant is a very small amount, compared to the numbers of the people on this earth. It's a very small amount, a remnant. So he cast down. Hang on one second. I got a bad cold, so I don't want to cough in the mic, but I'll just mute myself when I have to cough. Okay, and as the host, and an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of the transgression. And it's the reason of the transgression that, of course, the judgment is coming upon the church. Now, I think I mentioned this yesterday or maybe last week. It's important to understand this. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. And the tribulation is where we're being assaulted for bringing the gospel. Thankfully, here in the United States, it's an assault by words and not by literal things. You know, Christians are being persecuted all over the world in many places, and literally even killed. And that's been going on for a long time. But we've been blessed here in the United States. We're not familiar with that kind of an assault upon us. So people may not recognize it as much, but we are assaulted all day long, and we're silenced, especially in the churches, once the false gospel has taken control and Satan has taken a seat, then the true gospel is just not getting out. But anyway, that becomes because we'll object to that, and we'll try to correct that, and we'll be assaulted for that. We will be killed. We'll be silenced all the day long. And so that's kind of the picture that we're seeing here. Now, the Great Tribulation is really identifies with something that's large, that's worldwide, that's everywhere. And we even see the number 4 come up often, which tells us it's universal, it's everywhere. And so it's being silenced and quieted. Two witnesses are being killed. We're going through great tribulation, a large tribulation. And we will come out of that tribulation, of course. We'll see those pictures when we look into Revelation a little more deeper. Let's see. I'm going to reread the last sentence. And a host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression. And it cast down the truth to the ground. And it practiced and prospered. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto the certain saint which spake, how long will it be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, that's 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Okay, and it's after that period, after that 2,300 days, that we've entered into what's called the Great Tribulation. And we're in there for a period of time, and then, of course, God calls us out, come out of her, my people. So we come out of tribulation. I think we've seen that picture in Matthew or in Luke, where we're reading, after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be dark, and the moon shall not give its light, and so on and so forth. And that brings us out, again, into the world, where we're coming out of the churches. So now we continue to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now we read in two of the Gospels here, Matthew and Mark, and we read in Mark 13, verse 14, when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of Daniel the prophet, let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. Now we've looked at that, but that is the time to come out. Get out of her, my people, that ye be not partners or partakers with her evil deeds. Matthew 24, in verse 15, we see it again. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, again, come out. Malachi chapter 2, verse 11. Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. And Israel is my people. Jerusalem is the city of God. Again, both identifies with the church. It could identify with the corporate church or the spiritual church, which is in view. So when we look at these 2,300 days, it becomes very, very interesting. We're going to see there is an extreme amount of numbers that keep pointing to 1994, particularly September 6th in 1994. And as we look at that, you know, that's why way back when, going back into the 80s and the very early 90s, we started to consider these things and wondering, you know, that 1994 might be the end. But again, all the seals were not opened, and we didn't have the, you know, all of the information. And we came past that year, and we wondered again, and we looked for maybe a 23-year tribulation. I think there's a great deal of agreement on the 2300 days or the 23-year tribulation. And everybody likes to think of that 6-point-something years, which is 2300 days, as being the Great Tribulation. And you know, in the past, there was always thought that there was going to be great bloodletting and a really horrible time, and people want to believe it'll be less time than longer time. So I think our own minds had a lot to do with that. I personally didn't have an impression either way, because I've come early to the knowledge of realizing, like I said, in the late 70s or early 80s, that this Great Tribulation and bloodletting is not really a literal bloodletting. And we'll continue to see this. We've got to let the Bible lead us to where we have to be, line upon line, precept upon precept. But let's take a look at this picture of 1994. You know, we have a 13-year period from the time of the fall of man, which was 11:13. And, you know, again, we're going to look. It's important to know these numbers. And, you know, I shared with everyone in our place where we're putting different studies or information on our page, where we have the Bible studies that we're doing here. Down towards the bottom, there is a study on the calendar. And I mentioned this a couple of studies ago. And it's called the Calendar of Time, I believe. We'll try to look at that before we get to the end. But anyway, that 11,013, if you go through that study, you'll see it is clear that God has hit a calendar in the Bible. And when we calculate backwards, it ends up at 11,013 B.C. And again, the original individual Camping who did that study, he came from the position that that's when the world was created. But a lot of us have disagreed with that, at least recently, and I know I have, that this has got to be the fall of man. We talked again about this before, that there was a lot of things going on prior to 11:13. You know, Adam, naming all the animals, and we have no idea how much time had taken place. But apparently there was time, okay? And then, of course, once man was cast out, Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden, God gave the earth a history, a different history than what it was, because we don't know the history or any real picture of what took place or what the Garden of Paradise was, the Garden of Eden. So anyway, 11:13 is that number. When you calculate all the way out 13,000 years, okay, 13 is a very interesting number, and 1,000, of course, is an interesting number. We've spoken about that. You go 13,000 years exactly. Comes to September 6, 1994. Now, we also have other things that lead us there. When Israel became a nation, on May 21st, 1948, we go 40 years, which is the number of testing. The fig tree is in leaf. It became a nation again. That is the sign that we're at the end of the world. What is the sign of that coming in the end of the world? Well, the fig tree will be in leaf, and that's Israel. And 40 years, it makes all the sense in the world, of course, 40 years, because that's the number of testing. That's constant. 40 rained in, 40 days and 40 nights. Christ went up onto the mountain for 40 days. Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, again. And that's a direct picture right to Israel, 40 years in the wandering in the wilderness. So we have 40-year period, and then we come to May 21st, 1988, which is inclusive of 20, May 20, inclusive. And then 21st is the beginning of a count for 2,300 days. And that brings us to September 6, 1994. So again, we got a couple of markers there, and there's a lot more. We're just looking at two markers that are bringing us to this idea of bringing us to 1994. But we're going to see some other information that brings us to another date, September 6, 2001, and then another date, September 6, 2017. which we're not going to get too much into in this part of the study. We'll develop that more when we get to it. And then, of course, if you go from September 6, 1994, and you stretch yourself out 23 years, because the Bible does talk about a 23-year period, well, that is the length of the Great Tribulation. It's a 23-year period. And it brings us to September 6, 2017. And at that point, you know, then we go from there. And now we're at the point when, you know, that Leviathan is being judged. Nations are being brought to a place or a position where judgment is about to come upon that. And we can look a little bit into the world, of course, for that to see that that has been coming and working since 2017. Maybe we'll get into more detail of that a little later. But those are the dates that we're looking at. The important date for us to appreciate right now is Israel becoming a nation, the beginning of sorrows, and 1994, which is the beginning of the first half hour. Okay, God gives us a picture of an hour. In 1 hour, she is made desolate. 1 hour. Okay, so I think what we'll see is the call out started in or around 2001, but has taken us over a period of 2017. So people have been departing out of the church. I have noticed that a lot of people have not gone to church, and yet they still claim to be Christians. You know, most of them are wishy-washy Christians. But some of them that really have been looking into the Word without understanding this, realizing there's problems in the churches. There's just major problems all over. And we've gone through a list of a lot of them, and maybe a little later we'll go through that list again because it's very important for us to understand it. But the two major, major points that you will find is that they're not teaching the salting of the gospel, number one. And number two, they have a gospel where you get to do something. You know, God just brings it forward and he gets it offered to you and you make the decision. Well, we saw in our last study that clearly that is not the case. God does not reveal, you know, the criteria by which he chose anyone. Okay, not at all. And I've been studying the Bible for over 40 years and I have never seen anything specific. It's been very clear to me. That he's purposed it in himself and his own will. And again, you know, you have not chosen me, I have chosen you. Why did he choose me? Because I was a good guy? No way. Not possible. I may have been a lot worse than many other people in my past walking in this world. Okay, anyway, that gives us the picture of the 2300 days. We will probably look a little more at that as time goes on. We'll definitely come back and look at more on that. But that is the period of time when, you know, clearly we read in Matthew and in Mark and in Luke, okay, that, you know, the falling away starts, and then God says this is only the beginning of sorrows. Okay, this is just the beginning. We haven't got there. The end, he clearly says, and the end is not yet. And what end is he talking about? He's not talking about the end of the world. He's talking about the end of the church age. The end is not yet. But it's starting to build up. Now, I don't know how many people have gone to look into that study that I spoke about on the MP3s available in the study of Mark. And it goes quite lengthy. It goes quite lengthy, and it brings a lot of information out. And people should really be looking at that because it gives us more information and realizing that this study was done in the late 1970s and the very early 80s, okay? So it was really quite some time ago. But already, you know, there was already problems developing in the churches. I became aware of that when I became a Christian and started to walk with God sometime in the 70s. And I mentioned this before of some people trying to talk about the end and talking about Revelation, and I went to listen to them and in some church, and I was talking to many other Christians, and they were talking about all this stuff, and they really left the Bible when I followed along. They were not reading through the Bible, and this shows us how important certain Bibles are. We don't want to put, a watered down Bible. We don't want a Bible that someone has taken and said, "Well, it's kind of difficult language. So let me make it a little easier." Well, you can't get, you lose the spiritual picture. It's all gone. You know, you have to be able to trace it back to the Greek and the Hebrew. And there's very few Bibles out there that you can do that with. King James is one of the Bibles you can do with it. You have a Bible that was put together by Young's Analytical Concordance, and Young's also took the Bible, and it's almost matched very, very closely with King James. There are little changes here or there, and when you look into the study of the word, whether it's the Greek or the Hebrew, you can see how, yeah, you know, it might have been better to be interpreted that way instead of interpreted this way, because we're looking at, you know, an exchange from one language to another. And so, again, there's a lot that can be seen in these Bibles. There's another Bible or two. I just can't think of the names of them. I just stick to the King James. And I use both the Young's and the Strong's Concordance. I prefer the Young's above the Strong's, but I like them both. And they're both, I think, both loyal and true to the Word of God, in my opinion. And But Young's breaks it down in a different way. You can see it from a different perspective. And, you know, it's just a much more in-depth breaking apart of the words and then allowing you to really see what things might be. And more often than not, when I come to a struggle with a word and I start to look, well, let me look at the meaning of the word, let me see how it was used before, and so on and so forth. And then when I go into my Young's, I'll see that that Young's leaned more towards that too. But the problem that I have is that the Strong's is in electronics and connected to a King James version of the Bible, and that's what I have. It's called Quick Verse. And so I use Young's as a backup, especially if I'm kind of struggling with something. Then I'll go to Young's and see how Young's put it in, and I might come to a conclusion that is, reasonably better, maybe a better interpretation than King James has put. Because remember, any errors in there, it's not in the Bible. The errors is in the translation. But the translation errors, I think, are very rare. I very rarely have to reconsider some other meaning. But sometimes it's better appreciated that way. And again, you know, we have to rightly divide the word and look deep into these things. Okay, let's go on to the 1,290 days and the 1,335 days, which we will come upon later on when we get into Revelation. We're going to refer back to this. So let's try to come to an understanding and see how God has put these numbers together. We read in Revelation chapter 8, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour." And that silence in heaven about the space of a half hour, that's when the two witnesses are killed and the true gospel is no longer going out into the heavens above. You know, the clouds bringing the latter rain, or which comes a little later anyway, but the clouds that bring the former rain, the earlier rain, I shall say, brings forth the gospel throughout the church age. All of a sudden, we get clouds without water. We read, I think it's in 2 Peter, or maybe it's in 1 Peter, where the false prophets are referred to as clouds without water. You know, they're also referred to as stars, also wandering stars. And of course, the believers are identified as stars also, bringing the light of the gospel. And the sun ultimately identifies with Christ himself, the brightness of God's word. This silence in heaven, we now have the fowls of the air. They're in the heavens. They're flying in the heavens. They're the fowls of the air. And they're bringing forth a false gospel. So let's go on. We refer back to Daniel now. Now, Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people." Okay, now, angels don't stand up for people. Okay, that name of Michael, if you look it up, you can look at any of the Strong's or Young's, any of the analytical concordances. And you'll find out the meaning of the word Michael means he is assuredly is God. Michael is Jesus Christ. And I think maybe we'll look at Michael, in our first study next week after we get, maybe we'll do that before we even get into the next numbers, looking at the 70 weeks. Because I think it's important to really understand who Michael is. And he's the one that opens the seal. Only the mighty angel, a mighty messenger, can open the seal. And Michael is now standing up. To stand is to declare, okay? And the great prince would stand it for the children. Again, angels don't stand for the children. Only Christ does, of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the books. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars for ever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. And that's why, you know, people have been thinking that the end has come many, many times over the past 2,000 years. And no one could interpret the book of Revelation because it was sealed up. God sealed it up until the end. And so, God is open. We're going to read about the seven seals, and we're going to see the timing of the opening of each one of those seals. And it's a revealing of time, at some point in time when it takes place. And you can't see the picture before that time is revealed. And, remember when Jesus was with the apostles, he told them that he was going to be crucified ultimately. He told them that he was going to be taken. But they didn't hear. And they were surprised when it happened. And don't you remember I told you these things? So again, God blinds us at certain times. Even when we see it, we say, "Wow, that's so obvious. How did I miss that?" I mean, every time I go back into my Bible as I read through new things, things I've read before, all of a sudden I see something I didn't see. And how did I miss that? It's so obvious. It's so clear. Well, that's only because God's revealing it to us. And also, sometimes you need certain prerequisitional, understanding before you can see things. Also. So, line upon line, precept upon precept, and you build the picture bigger and bigger, and then you piece these puzzle pieces together little by little, and you get the big picture. And that's, of course, what we're trying to do, is get that big picture through Revelation. Okay. Let's see where we're at. Okay, I believe we're here. We're going to pick up in a second there. All right, let's see now. And they that be wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, seal up the words, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And the really knowledge that God is talking about is the knowledge of the Bible. But there is the other side of things, too. The knowledge of the world has increased tremendously, especially over the past, 80 or 100 years or so. But the real focus is ultimately, of course, on the knowledge of God's word, revealing it, the knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there does seem to be a little bit, there's something on the worldly side of things, and it's on the spiritual side of things. But again, the spiritual focus is what we're more interested in. But it does help to kind of, glue things together when we can kind of see it on the physical end, too, like the way things are going in Israel right now. So knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two. The one on this side of the river, of the bank of the river, and the other on this side, that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, "How long shall it be to the end of these wonders?" And I heard a man, the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto the heaven, and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. So that's 3.5. Times, times and a half is 3.5. So that's a half a week, a half an hour. Half is identifying. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter, that is to break it into pieces, the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, okay, and we've read about that, there shall be 1,290 days. That's 1,290 days, 1,290 right there. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. That's 1,335 days right there. But go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Now, we're going to look a little bit at the period of time a little more later, but we want to look to see how God put these numbers together. If we read in Daniel chapter 12, verse 10, again, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. If we look at the beginning of the baptism of Christ, which we can calculate through the Bible and through using the calendar, we can calculate to the very, very day, which was September 28th, 29 A.D. And it goes to, if we take that from the beginning of the baptism all the way to the end of the year, which is 9/27/32. Well, actually, it's 3 years. What am I saying? Not the end of the year. A period of 3 years, I believe. This is 1,096 days. Okay, so we got 29, 30, 31, and a part of 32. And it's actually a part of 29. And then there's a full year of 30 and then 31. And a partial year of 32. So we're going from 28 to 27 inclusive, and we come up to 1,096 days. Okay, then we continue on. We go from 9/28 to 32 to 9/30/32 included. We add another 3 days. And as we go through all of this, the key thing is this, and just trying to break it down into pieces so you can calculate it easily. And you can go and study the book in the calendar that I gave you and get more specific in detail. But the point is this. If you go from the 9/28/29, which is the very first date, that's when Christ was baptized. And you go to Pentecost, which is 5/24/33, included that day, the 24th, you come to a total of 1,335 days. So that's a very interesting picture. We have to ask ourselves, well, what are we doing with this 1,335 days? What is it identifying with? And later on, we're going to see how that identifies some way in the calendar. But it does get a little complicated in the sense there's a lot of mathematics involved in here. There's a lot of consideration. You've got to meditate on this and constantly be pushing, putting these things through and trying to work things out, puzzling it in your mind to see if it all fits. You know, as for me, it fits very well. But again, this is new to a lot of people, I think. And, you know, so you have to put time into it if you really want to get down deep into it and really see securely that these numbers are solid. Okay, so now we go over to Levi's time in Egypt, which was 137 minus 60 years. So this is from the period of time from the coming out of Egypt. We're trying to calculate the number of years. Coming out of Egypt, okay, Levi was 60 years old when he came out of Egypt. Okay, and he died at 137. So we have 77 years that he had come out of Egypt and was, going into Egypt. So he had coming into Egypt, he was in Egypt 77 years. And God gives us a verse. I'm not sure I got this verse here. I'm surprised they didn't put this verse in. I'll have to pick it up later on. Maybe I'll just make note of that verse next in our next study. But there is a verse, okay, that tells us that they were in Egypt literally for 430 years. And then God gives us a list of individuals coming out, going in and out of Egypt. And he lists the name Levi, Kohath, Amram, and Aaron. Now, Aaron, we know, is on the other side coming out of Egypt with Moses. And he was 83 years old when that happened. And I believe Moses was 80 years old at that time. But anyway, Aaron was 83 years old at the time coming out. And so if you, these are progenitors or children of each one to the point. And God speaks of these four individuals prior to going into Egypt or as about to be going down into Egypt as if they were all existing at the same time. But when we go through the Bible and study the Bible and break this down, we start to see that, you know, Kohath and Amram's and Aaron were not in Egypt. I mean, they were not, you know, prior to coming into Egypt. They were already born while they were in Egypt. But God was speaking of them in their soul existence, in the loins, ultimately, of Levi. And again, I will probably post a book where you can go and look at all these numbers and really get down deep into it. I have been through all these books, and I'm pretty very confident in them. But if anybody wants to go through those books, I'll list them out. I might have copies of them that I can make available. I'm not sure. Well, you might have to hunt them out on the internet. But I'll see what I can do, what I can put it together. And so there was a period of time that they were in 430 years. And when you work through the breakdown of the birth of these people, when Levi went into Egypt, and then when Aaron came out of Egypt at 83 years old, and you add all those years together, it comes up to 430. Now, I will look for that verse and bring that up next study, just to seal that up. So when we take the 1,290 days, and we take the 1,335 days, we presume them all to be days, we come up to 2,625 days. And if we divide that by 365.25, it's exactly 7 years. And if we look at the other side, we've got 1,290 days times three, okay, we come to the 4,005 minus 1994, and it brings us to the year 2011. That's the year that the 23-year falls on, 2011. And again, we're going to be reviewing these numbers more as we go through the book of Revelation. If there's a lot of numbers here. The math you should be trying to work out if you're interested in getting into the real deep side of these maths. You know, I'll get the information up and you can look through. But it ends up on the year 2011 AD. That is key. That is a key picture. And when you look through this whole thing from the entrance to Egypt, 1877 BC, and the beginning of the Great Tribulation in 1994, is a total of 3,870 years. So now, when we see that picture, we say, okay, what are we going to do with that number? Well, let's go down to the entrance into Egypt. The entrance into Egypt, down on the bottom of the page here, is 1877 BC, and the exodus out of Egypt was 1447 BC. That's 430 times 3 brings us to 1290 years. Okay, now you look and see the entrance into Egypt in 1877 and the destruction of Jerusalem, we'd add in 587, okay, it comes to 1,290 years. And again, let's step back a bit, 430 years times 3 equals 1,290 years. Now we multiply that by 3 and we come to 3,870 years, which is the years of destruction of Jerusalem. Now again, we step back up and look back up again, the entrance of Egypt, 1877, to the beginning of the Great Tribulation, 1994. And of course, the 1877 was BC. And in order to get 3,870 years, it's important to realize when you take 18, if you're going to add Old Testament date and a New Testament date to see how many years is in between them, You have to minus one because there is no year zero. So you have 1877 plus 1994 is actually 3,871. But we have to take away 1 year because there's no year zero. So that brings us to 3,870 years. So it's so interesting on how these numbers constantly fall and give us some kind of a clue of dates. And it falls on four dates all the time. Maybe it's a little more. Let me think. One, two, three, four, five dates all the time, constantly. Okay? Which makes it very interesting. And again, I'll put more information out there to get into the math for everybody that is really interested in that mathematics. So that's a very interesting picture, as we can see. And so the 1,290 days has a spiritual meaning. It identifies with the ministry of Christ to begin with. 1,335 days, that identifies with a period of time of coming out of Egypt. So when we work through all these mathematics, we'll see they're very, very correct and accurate. But we're going to get back into these things more as we go through the book of Revelation. Let me just go up to the top page. The next thing we're going to be looking at is the 70 weeks of Daniel 9, which we'll do probably the first study next week. But here we will look at this calendar. And we can start to see all of these numbers. I mean, 1994 alone, I mean, look at that number, 1994. How many dates fall onto that 1994 all the way through? I mean, just to quickly look at some, the 40 Jubilees from the birth of Christ, they had the 10 Jubilees from the beginning of the Jubilee to Christ's birth. 10 is 10 Jubilees plus 40 brings us to 50 Jubilees. 1994 is a Jubilee of Jubilees. So it's the Sabbath Jubilee. It's the 50th Jubilee. It's the Sabbath Jubilee. Remember, the seven sevens is 49 and then 50. And the 50th year is a Sabbath year. Okay? And so now we have the Jubilees. You've got 49 Jubilees. And then the 50th Jubilee, well, it's a Sabbath Jubilee. Pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath. And so it's a 50-year period, or 49-year period, which gives us a picture of a Sabbath Jubilee. And the end of the world will happen, it will end before that, of course. But an interesting picture. So again, the Jubilee going straight back, as I mentioned, 49 Jubilee, and it's the 50th Jubilee starting in 1994. We have the 40 years period, and the 2300 days, again, brings us to 1994. We have the 3,870 years from entrance into Egypt, brings us into the entrance into the beginning of the Great Tribulation. Again, an idea of Egypt, or in a sense of the word, more appreciated Sodom and Gomorrah. But Egypt, of course, identifies with the kingdom of Satan. Then you have 11,000, what is it, from 7 BC to 1994 is exactly 2,000 years, two millenniums. And there's a number of ways that number 2,000 is interesting. You know, there's one place, 1,000 years, twice told. I forget exactly where that's at, but it's a verse, and that identifies with 2,000 years. 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years. We have the 42 months coming from 1988 to 1994. We're going to be looking into the 42 months at some point soon. We have another picture. We have going from, let's see, this is 13,006 years coming from the fall of man. And that again, that brings us to 1994. Six is the number of man, the number of the beast, the number of man. We have, let's see, what else do we have? We have, if we calculate all the way back, you know, if we calculate the Jubilees in a backward fashion, okay, Jacob was born on a Jubilee year. Jacob was turned to Israel 100 years later. Gideon died in a Jubilee. King David was born on a Jubilee. Okay, so if we do the calculations backwards and we take it to 1994, we have 3,000 years from King David, which is 60 jubilees, brings us to 94. That 6 is in view, 6 times 10. 10 identifies, of course, with the completeness of whatever God has in view. But that number 6 is the number of man, 666, one-third. And we're going to see a lot of that one-third, two-third relationships, okay? And one-third is identifying with the believers, and two-thirds is identifying with the world. And if you break those two-thirds into one-third, one-third, you have one-third that is identifying with the church, and one-third that's identifying outside of the church, identifying with the world. So the three-thirds coming together make one. But God always talks about this one-third, two-third relationship throughout the Bible, and we'll be bringing that up again, too. But again, there's a lot here to bring together before you can feel complete in this and solid. But, I mean, you can already see the numbers, how they fall together so harmoniously and evenly. You know, we have Jacob, his name is changed to Israel, is 3,200 years. It's a 64 jubilees. We have Jacob, the birth of Jacob, which is 4,000 years, which is 80 jubilees. So again, interesting numbers. And let's see what else we have. Just to look at things, and again, we'll be a little more detailed. We're going to look at a lot of these things a little later, probably. And we've already looked at some of it already. But 23 years times 12 is 276 months. Okay? Remember the shipwreck? There was 276 souls that were saved, and that was during the wintertime. Acts 27, if you take 1 and add it to 2, to 3, to 4, to 5, all the way up to 23, you come again. To 276. If you go to the 23 years and you multiply it by 365.25 days, which is the length of a year, it comes to 8,400 days. 84 is a significant number. We'll get into that later. But you add 2,300, the days, to that, and then you make the multiplication. You know, you do the multiplication, you add the 2,300 days, you come to literally 70 weeks. 70 weeks, we're going to be looking into Daniel 9 next time. It's right here, that's down a little lower. Okay, and then we have the 100, if you take that 107, that 70 weeks and divide it, you come to 153. And 153 brings us to the great fish that was caught, which identifies with the end of the world. And John chapter 21. And if you add 1 through to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 all the way up to 17, you got 153. So I can't see how those things will be coincidental. Now, we're coming a little bit, looking at numbers in a little different way. But God does give us those pictures. And they're very specific numbers that God uses all the time throughout the Bible. Yeah. And it's constant. Then you have the 70 years times 12 is 840 months. That number 84, again, is a significant number. Okay. Because it identifies with the 23 years right there. See, 23 years times 365.25 days for each year. For 23 years, it's 8,400 days. It's 84 months. Again, it's very interesting the way these number sequences go. Now we're going to, when we get into Revelation, we're going to be tying verses into this, you know. The silence in heaven about the space of a half hour, for instance. When we're told to come out of her, focusing in another half hour. A 7-year period and a 10-year period. And then the final, and a 6-year period. And then after that, we lose our numbers. Well, God identifies this other period of time after 2017, going out to the end, to the last day. He refers to it as a week, okay. And he refers to the Great Tribulation as an hour, when we know it's 23 years. Okay, I think that brings us to the end. I don't see anybody has any questions. We're about at the end of our time. And I don't mind going over if anybody does have questions, and we can take things a little longer, but in any event, next week we will look at the 70 weeks of Daniel 9, okay, and we're going to see some interesting pictures there, and I'm going to look for that verse that really relates to this 430 years. I'm surprised I didn't put it in here, but I'll look for that verse, and we'll share that next week. All right, if nobody has any questions, we have come pretty close to the end. We've got about 7 minutes left, but we'll end things now, I guess. And if nobody has anything, we'll end it. And I guess not. Okay, so we'll pick this up next Wednesday. Like I said, we'll be looking at this last period, 70 weeks. Now, again, I'm going to put some more information up on the webpage where people can read in more in-depth if they want. But I do really encourage you to look into and listen to the Matthew study, at least from the numbers I had mentioned. I forget what number it was. Maybe I'll look that back up again and put a note again out it next week. But it goes a little longer because I'm still listening to some more studies after that. So it goes longer. He probably, right now, he's probably spent about 10 studies or 8, or let me think. Yeah, probably about 10 studies already of focusing in on the end times. And he's going to give you a lot more information than I'm given too. So he's going to give you some of the information I've already given you. He's going to add stuff, information that I didn't give you. I have information that he didn't give because there were things that were unknown in those days, and he was very premature in this. Like I said, we're looking at 1970s and 80s. And Harold Campen, who was the founder and president of Family Radio, I think it was 1958, and he had the gospel going out to the entire world, everywhere, even into China. Okay, and this is pre-internet days. And so it was a worldwide ministry, and he was thoroughly hated. And I think that hatred really built on him in the 70s when he did this mock study and started to talk that there's a lot of problems in the church already. And it's the normal thing. The churches are constantly going apostate, constantly going astray. And he adds a lot more to that than I added. So I really encourage people to listen to those studies. I'm at, I think, 270, and I'm going to 271. I think I'm at 272 now, and he's still talking about it. And so I think we're looking back to maybe 260. I'll go check it out, and I'll give another note on that next week. But I really do encourage you to listen because he gives you more information. And again, he's a very, very deep teacher, and he looks into words very, very carefully. But I will tell you, he's made a couple of mistakes there, but he couldn't know that back then. It was too premature. And again, everybody makes a lot of mistakes looking at the Book of Revelation over the past 2,000 years because they were sealed. So thank God we're not saved by knowledge, we're saved by grace, and that's the key. And whenever we discover an error, we need to correct that error. And hopefully as time goes on, if anybody sees an error, hopefully they'll bring it up and we'll correct it and we'll go dig down deep to find the truth. Okay, with that, good night, everybody. We'll see you next Wednesday.
Good night.